Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Show me his milk.
Six ten. Hi. It's not as bad as you've heard. The roads are actually fine, and there's less people on them because it's Martin Luther King Day. Let's go live now to the seventh floor where Mary Vanderbilt is climbing the walls.
Not yet.
It's not that big a deal. It's fine.
No, it's not bad at all. My driveway was pretty slippery.
All right, so please stay off Mary Vanderbilt's driveway. If you're anywhere near Mary Vanderbilt's driveway, it is risky. And it could cause serious problems.
So I think getting to your car might be an issue. Once you're in it, you should be okay.
All right. Well, that's good news. So, you know, good luck to all of us. And
salt trucks are everywhere alongside, just waiting.
Exactly. What you said. Wang Ding Doodle results. We have the final four in the NFL. Here's your top six at six. Final four in the NFL. Let's go live to Mark Carmen now, standing outside the stadium where the Steelers beat the Chiefs last night in a field goal fest.
I'm actually with Antonio Brown, who, Steve, he went on Facebook Live in the locker room after the game as Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach, is talking. Stay off social media. Keep a low profile. We're going to go into New England. We're going to beat there. Profanity. And now a million people have viewed this video of the Steelers in their locker room. Can you believe that? Facebook Live?
How big's the fine going to be?
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are on that. Maybe gets I mean,
well, he's an idiot.
Mike, what does Mike Tomlin do with him in his?
And this punch him in the face.
I mean, this is your best wide receiver. Hey, come in here, so let me punch you, but then go out and catch 10 balls against the Patriots. Pretty amazing.
But if you look at your head coach and you go, "What did you ask me to do? I'm not doing that."
Right.
Come on, please. Best game of the weekend was clearly the Cowboys and the Packers.
Yeah.
A couple of really stupid defensive back plays, the secondary plays by the Cowboys late cost them the game.
Yeah, and I mean, Aaron Rodgers at
four. He's ridiculous.
You're talking about, I mean, you could make the argument.
I don't know why he's not talking to his father, but he's ridiculous.
There is that, these things happen. Sometimes son and dad don't get along. 4-6, said we were going to win out. And they went out. They've been playing playoff games since week 11, now 8 in a row, and with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, they got to go on the road to do it. But, I mean, who's betting against Green Bay right now? I'm not.
Hawks mini skid. They lose again last night after getting up early. Inauguration week, the good, the bad, the ugly. What's the deal with the march for the women?
The women's march is going to be the main women's march is in Washington, D.C. on Saturday.
Okay.
But there's going to be sporadic marches throughout. There's a big, big, big one. Most of the Illinois delegation who was going to go to Washington, many are staying here now because they say the Chicago march is going to be pretty big. It's in Grant Park, and that gets underway on Saturday morning.
So lots of marching going on.
A lot of marching left and right. A lot of women marching.
If you're marching, stay off Mary's driveway. It's the only slick spot we're currently aware of. Inauguration week, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll get into the Trump tweets later. He didn't help himself at all this weekend. Big shock there. Martin Luther King Day today. The Jesse Jackson Rainbow Push breakfast must be today, right?
Yeah, that's today as well, and Trump got in a little bit of trouble today. He said he was going to attend. Initially said he would attend the Martin Luther King breakfast in Washington, which most of the presidents
and he was
going
to go to the African American History Museum.
Exactly, by the Smithsonian. And now he said, I think announced on Saturday that he's not doing that.
Yeah, sure it has nothing to do with the John Lewis mess.
No.
Yeah. You know, Saturday he wasn't going?
Yeah, it was a couple days ago.
That was before the John Lewis thing.
Yeah.
The Obamacare mess continues. We'll get into that with Dr. Moses about a half an hour from now. And the Trump-Russia thing gets uglier, too, and the former CIA director is involved now. So it's kind of an ugly news weekend. By the way, I'm just back from Florida, and it's 80 there.
Oh, man. Yeah, you do. You got a little bit of sun.
Did you golf?
I played golf Friday.
Yeah. Nice. Stream song.
Unfortunately,
right?
Beautiful.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Stream song. Kemper course.
Yes.
The Kemper folks manager
awesome.
Course. Two courses, the third one going in.
Mm-hmm.
The only hills in Florida.
Yeah, and it takes forever to get there, too. You just drive and drive and drive and drive.
Yeah, there's parts of Central and West Florida that there's still nothing there.
Right.
Yeah. So if you want to buy land where there's nothing.
And then you might miss the little frontage road, the little marker to the frontage road that's a stream song. That
I've never seen a longer entrance to a hotel and a golf course.
Yeah.
It's like 5 miles once you enter.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
It's crazy. Anyway, great facility, and they were nice hosts, and I appreciate them having me. And the Kemper folks, as usual, managing a magnificent facility. If you want to play great golf, Stream Song, one of the top 100 courses in the country. There's a red side. There's a blue side. It's hilly. Mm-hmm. The walk is significant.
6 mile, right?
About 6 mile walk, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great course.
Uphills, downhills. I mean, there were wild animals, critters. I had to beat a couple of them to death with a 6 iron.
Did you see the wild turkeys?
Yeah.
They had wild turkeys on one of the holes.
Yeah, they also, in the summertime, they have rattlers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, snake problem. Well, not a problem. It's not a problem for the snakes. They live there.
Any thoughts on not returning, Steve?
80 and sunny was tough to leave.
I bet.
Yeah. And a nice wedding. That's all I got on the wedding. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me what the dress was like. The girl looked beautiful.
You didn't watch Say Yes to the Dress before? Get an idea.
My mother does this to me all the time. My mother goes, well, what was it? The dress was white.
Yeah. What was the color? What was the color theme? What were the bridesmaids wearing?
The bridesmaids, and I'm told this is a new trend, were all wearing the same colors, but they could pick any dress that they like.
Yeah,
that's a new thing?
That is a trend.
It is cool, mm-hmm. yeah. It's a neat thing.
They all look beautiful.
Because then you can decide if you want short sleeves, sleeveless.
Here's
because
some girls don't look good in, different types of dresses. So
I'm doing a new show called, say, WTF to the Tux. Because, the Tuxes were all the same.
For the men, you mean?
Yeah, they're black, generally speaking, with ties.
Long tie or a bow tie?
But everybody went bow tie. I'm a long tie guy myself.
I like the long ties.
Now, the cool thing is this couple, they don't have kids, but they've got this beautiful German Shepherd mix, a mutt, who's
don't
like their
child.
Don't
tell me the dog was in the wedding.
All right.
I don't want
people put dogs in the wedding.
Okay, listen, why don't you wait to the end of the story before you step on it?
Well, seriously.
The dog had a red tie on. Like a tie around his neck.
That's cute.
And he sat with the person doing the ceremony up front. And when they came up, he gave high paw to both of them and sat there while they were married.
Aw, that's cute.
Perfectly behaved. As opposed to the little ring bearer who beat the heck out of the little flower girl and made her cry.
I thought you were going to say beat the heck out of the dog.
Yeah, they're brother and sister, and he kept punching her, and then she started crying.
Oh,
that's hilarious.
It's cute, though, with the high paw.
High paw to both of them.
That's cute.
Plus, the relationship with the dog will last. I mean, that's a guarantee right there.
Mm-hmm. Right, as opposed to the relationship with the niece and nephew, who I'm sure they don't have a relationship with anymore. And the groom's family, which I didn't know until I met them. Good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you don't mind the fact that there was a lot of drinking going on.
Oh. Woo! Yeah, because you got down there a couple of days before the wedding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not much of a drinker. I'm more of a, wow, look at those people drink. but anyway, everybody had a good time. So Florida, in case you missed it, hot and sunny. Here, not so much, though it is going to be 50 before the week's out. Your top six at 6. We'll get into greater detail on those coming up. Allison Lee still making it? She on the way? Any minute now? Oh, she's here. Okay, great. Allison Lee will join us in just a second. Speaking of golf. We got a couple of things to hit on in that area as well, and she is one of the young stars of the LPGA Tour. We'll meet her in just a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Allison Lee playing her third. She's 2 under on her round today.
Very difficult hole location on that right side to get close to. If you're going to chip in, you can put it anywhere on there.
One way to do it.
Allison Lee going after it. It is definitely enough. Look at this.
Down towards the hole and possibly in. What about that? That was never offline.
Show off. 6:23. Allison Lee, one of the young stars of the LPGA Tour. Glad to have her here. 2017 KPMG Women's PGA Championship. And Allison in town. First off, last night to shoot the puck. Are you a hockey fan?
I'm actually a big Kings fan.
Nice of you to come in. Thanks for being here. of course, you were in Blackhawk territory last night when you shot the puck. How'd you do?
I think I did okay. I missed the little hole by like a couple inches twice. I was really disappointed when it didn't go in because I'm really competitive and I practiced like shooting it like 50 times right before I went in.
Yeah, you ran the concourse and the racket against the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a long putt though.
It is. It is like a 100-foot putt.
Did you have your caddy behind you?
No, I didn't have my caddy out there to hold
it's
my
It's funny
hand,
to read it. Reading just to read ice. Yeah, go ahead and read the ice, which way it was going to go. Fun, though, right? You had a good time?
Yeah, it was super cool. I've
and I guess because
like
you're
it.
A Trader and a Kings fan, just because you live in L.A. and you go to UCLA, you were probably happy the Hawks lost.
I mean, I'm a new Blackhawks fan. So,
ah, there you go. Yeah. Did you get any gear?
Yes, I did. I got a shirt.
And it's so great of you to agree to wear that at your next Kings game.
No, I might get beat up by my friends.
Oh,
but
well, we don't
see.
Let's talk about you. You getting ready for the season? How do you feel?
Yeah, I've been.
Well, you're
season.
In season, so how do you feel?
Well, a season for me starts at the end of February. I'm
okay.
skipping our first event, which is in a couple weeks, so I get a little bit more time off. So definitely kind of just enjoying my time off right now, like coming to Chicago, like having some fun. I just started school last week. So
yeah, Andrea, you know this? She's at UCLA as well.
I know.
It seems like you have a full-time job.
That's great.
Pretty much, yeah. I have two full-time jobs, really.
What are you studying?
I'm a communications major.
So you think you're beautiful, you well-spoken, you could probably do this, you know, chase
we'll
around.
We'll see, maybe down the road, maybe someday, we'll see, yeah.
You interested in sports, though? Is that the goal down
yes.
the road?
Yes, definitely. Obviously, golf's number one. I've always wanted to become a professional golfer, and literally dream come true right now, you know, having this be my third year on tour.
How do you balance? You know, I mean, you have your schoolwork, you're touring, you're all over the country, all over the world. Is it tough?
It definitely is difficult. You know, I've told a lot of people I've had multiple meltdowns and breakdowns of just crying. And I have a couple of close friends that have been there to witness that. But it's a lot of fun. And I have some great friends back at school and back home that really support everything I do. And they're the reason why I'm able to continue with everything. So they're great.
How do you do that with the professors, though? Do you go, listen, I can get you a box of Provis?
I wish it worked that way. I mean, it really depends on the professor. I've had some professors that are great. Like, they really support everything. And I've had a couple that are like, what's that? You play golf? Like, they don't really understand. So it's really difficult sometimes. But I try and make it work.
You just go, I'll be on TV this weekend. I'm not lying.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Just watch on the Golf Channel, I promise.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I've definitely had a little bit of difficulty with a few professors. You know, I've had to drop a couple of classes because professors didn't understand. And I've actually had to take a couple of finals and midterms on the road. Like, funny story, I was in Scotland last year and I had to take a midterm like in the middle of the night because he wanted me to take it at the same time as the entire class.
Oh, that's just being a jerk.
So I had to stay up and take it. Yeah.
Where were you playing in Scotland?
She's sitting there having her haggis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the right. It was the British Open. We were in like Ayr, Scotland, like in the middle of nowhere. Like Wi-Fi was bad too, and it was just, I was freaking out.
That's just mean. That's just mean.
That's pretty mean.
Just like making you get up and talk to us today. June 27th, July 2nd at Olympia Fields Country Club. You can see Allison and a lot of her friends and several of the women she'll announce now that she doesn't like on tour. In the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. Tickets on sale at KPMG Women's PGA Championship.com. You ever play Olympia Fields?
I actually have. I've actually had two tournaments there. I had one when I was probably 15, and I went back and played in another event when I was 17. So I've seen
the
golf course before.
It's
a great course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who got you into golf?
My dad. My dad was a golf fanatic growing up, and I played golf for the first time when I was around 6.
So at what point do you go, I love you, but I can't listen to you anymore?
That's a good question. I mean, my dad was my coach growing up, so he pretty much taught me how to swing the club all the way until I was probably 15. So he was always there for me. I got a new coach probably around 15, 16.
His idea or yours?
It was like a mutual thing. You know?
That's a tough conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But, you know, I would not be here if it weren't for my dad, for sure.
Is he able to travel and see some events and things?
Yeah, he's been to a couple. He hasn't been to everything. They've given me a lot of space since I've turned pro because they know I'm really busy. So they've only been to probably a handful of tournaments the past couple years.
Can you call him and go, listen, I don't know what this is, but you know, I'm pulling everything, I'm doing this or that, and he can, because he knows your game so well, he can help, or do you stay away from that?
Sometimes, I mean, that doesn't really happen anymore.
So you just call, you just call and complain about professors.
Yeah, like he likes to come out and watch, but not as much a coach anymore.
Well, I give him credit. That's tough. That's tough. Let me get Mark and Andre in here. One more.
Allison. Oh, go ahead. You want
to... Well, I was just trying to relive my childhood. If I had done it the way you did I have to play every single day? I mean, were you on the course like from 6 to 15 every single day on? How did that go?
I would say yes, almost every day. Like after school, my parents would drop me off at the golf course. I would say especially, you know, going into high school, I played golf a lot. Pretty much every day, yeah. And I would go pretty much on the weekends with my dad to a golf course like an hour away and kind of spend the whole day with him. So I spent I had a lot of family time with my dad.
Mark, sounds that's amazing.
A nice
so
way of
good.
Saying it's yeah. too late for you.
Well, no. Senior tour, Andrea.
There you go. There you go. Allison, don't you notice an increase in popularity in a sport amongst female golfers and younger too? I mean, I didn't take it up until I was in my 20s, but I'm seeing now, you know, younger girls taking lessons at 6, 7, 8 years old. And you see that as well, too?
Yeah, I definitely do see that. The game is definitely growing. Even for me, when I was younger, I was kind of, you know, embarrassed as a little girl to play golf. Like, I would tell people, like, oh, I play golf. And they'd be like, golf's not a sport. Like, you know, that whole cliche saying. But I feel like, yeah, golf's definitely growing. People are appreciating it more. So I think it's great for a lot of little girls to play the game. I mean, it's not like any other sport. It teaches you a lot.
First couple of years, you made a nice chunk of money. What'd you buy for yourself that was fun? Did you get a cool car? Did you buy yourself a house?
No, I did not buy a car. I bought myself, the first purchase I bought probably was Stuart Weitzman over the knee long boots. Oh. That was my first. Awesome. I wore
you too,
yeah.
Carmen.
Yeah, it's the same thing
yeah.
you have.
Yeah.
No doubt, no doubt.
Good for you. Yeah.
Mark does a little cross-dressing on the weekend, so he loves those Stuart Weitzman boots. Yeah.
I'm just confused. You make the money, but you're not allowed to play in college? Or how does that work?
Yes, I'm no longer eligible to play, but
but you can go to school.
I still want to get my degree. So I no longer have my scholarship. I'm paying for tuition on my own.
Probably a good decision.
Cool, yeah.
Is there anybody in your world that said, we need you to focus just on golf, we don't need you to go to college, you can take care of that later?
I've definitely had a lot of people, you know, say that. Like, I've had a lot of supporters, but at the same time, I've had a lot of people say that they don't think I made the right decision, first of all, to turn pro, and they think I should, you know, quit school because they think I could perform better on the golf course.
You're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm managing. I mean, it is definitely difficult, you know, squeezing everything in, you know, with practice, like fitness and like
last time
study.
I looked top 40. Aren't you still top 40?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's working out well, yeah.
There's a lot of women not in the top 40. You go, maybe I should go to UCLA.
Exactly.
But I really like doing that stuff. I like having another life. I like having that escape from golf. And I love the network of people that I've made at UCLA, and it is a lovely area. Like, I love Westwood. I mean, I graduate in June. I don't want to be done.
Well, there's so much to like about you outside of your Kings fandom. I couldn't be pulling harder for you. I hope you have a great, great, great season. I know you got a full day of media because these mean people behind you made you get up so early. But congratulations on all the success so far. And if you want to see Allison, go win the Women's PGA Championship at Olympia Fields. Are we betting on her now? Are we doing that later?
I'm picking her.
Okay.
I'm picking her.
KPMG dibs. Women's 2017 PGA Championship, June 27th to July 2nd, KPMGWomensPGA.com. And you can follow Allison all year. What's your social handle?
On Instagram, I'm at the Allison Lee, and then on Twitter, Allison Lee.
Okay. Well, it's great to meet you.
I know. Nice to meet you.
Good luck. If you need help with your homework, Carmen would be happy to do it. So just send it to him.
All my communications. I have a class on conspiracy theories right now.
Really?
Can you help me on that?
No. Oh, you got your man right
no
here.
Problem.
He's a big conspiracy theorist. You should hear the things he says about me.
237.
Oh, nice to meet you. I hope you get some sleep somewhere, but thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
6:32, back with a big story in a moment on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Once again, there's spots, but it's not nearly as bad out there as you thought or heard it would be. So, as I always say, as Dr. Kevin Most joins us now, if you get in your car on a day like this, drive as fast as you possibly can to get to work or wherever. I think that's good advice, Doc, and I know you'll back me up on that.
Well, it is if you work at a hospital, because when the ambulance picks you up after your accident,
it gets you here a lot faster. Well, let me get you a tiny violin. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better every day. By the way, you deal with studies all the time in the medical business. They're, you know, important medical information,
yep.
Accumulated data, things of that nature. This wedding I was at this weekend verified a study that I've never, ever, ever been paid for. But when you get large groups of white people together, the way you can tell they're having fun is they whoop. Woo! Woo! That's how you know white people are having fun. Woo!
And sometimes there's a double woo, right? Like, woo, woo!
Yeah. And also...
Tennessee?
Yes, yes. Well, no, but, you know, it's Florida. And when they're dancing, when they get their hands over their heads, that's when it's time to leave. Uh-oh. Boy, here we go. All right, we'll talk about Obamacare in just a second, but there's an important breast cancer study out. What do we know?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting, and it's gotten a lot of attention, and it's gotten a lot of people up in arms. In Denmark, they started to roll out, this about this over the past 10 years, they started rolling out screening mammography paid for by the government, and they didn't do it like the entire country gets it at once. So they did it in parts. And what they did is they studied those sections because they thought that by screening more, they would see the advanced cases of breast cancer drop where the screening started earlier. And what they found out at the end is they didn't see any drop in the advanced cases. They saw much more biopsies and surgeries and chemo, but no really change in the advanced cases. So it appears that our technique, our ability to detect is great, but now we are looking at, hold on a second, what happens here? Are we doing surgeries and are we doing other treatments when in fact we wouldn't have to because some of these tumors will not advance?
So do we then see insurance companies jump on this right away, or what's the next level of this?
No, I think it's kind of interesting. The insurance companies certainly better not, because that would be so detrimental.
Right.
Now, assuredly, you know, here the Danish study said one-third of the care that we're delivering is not necessary. In the United States, the estimate is at a couple percent. Where's the truth? Probably somewhere in between there. But we really cannot have women say, oh, gosh, if it's one-third, I'm not going to do my mammogram. Because we've had these techniques that we've advanced to a point where we can find some of these tumors very early on so that simple surgery can be done and it's a complete cure.
So, but when you sit down with a patient and you go, we think we want to wait on this, that's a scary conversation.
Absolutely. Because, you know, most women know somebody who's gone through breast cancer and has fought that battle. And, you know, we have 40,000 people who lose that battle every year. So chances are you know someone who fought it. So if you were told you had a tumor, the first thing they're going to say is, get it out of me.
Right.
How are we going to do this? What can we do? What treatments can I have?
Doc, can that number that you were talking about be compared to the number of callbacks? Because I know lately so many – I actually had my mammogram, my yearly, last week. And I know so many times you get the callback, and then sometimes they'll say, well, just do another routine mammogram or an MRI. And I see that number increasing, the number of callbacks. So is that just to be safe, or is that they're really finding more and they want to take the next step?
It's actually B more than A. Exactly. Wow. The equipment that we have now is so much better than it was even 10, 12 years ago. So we're starting to see smaller tumors, and then they're all, especially on a screening mammogram, they're going to say, oh, come back. We want you to have what we call a diagnostic mammogram, or have an MRI, or have an ultrasound. Those follow-up tests, because they saw something on that initial one. It's being more proactive, to be honest with you.
All of this will be put up as we put up Dr. Most's incredible notes every week. Then you can take a look at it and follow some links and Google it up yourself. Or, you know, as is usually the case with news breaking medical studies, these things take a while to play out. But it's definitely interesting in the world we're living in, and with women having to make decisions on this stuff. Well, families having to make decisions.
Yep. Yeah, it is. You know, the next step is going to be, how can we get to a point where we see this very small tumor and we're going to be able to say, that's one we can watch. This one over here, we can't. So it's going to be the ability to differentiate which ones are going to advance is going to be the next big step.
And it's still 40 is the first one you should have, right?
Yeah, you know, most people are going to still say 40. Now, there's other people that are arguing that it's 45, and other people are arguing that it's 50, and some people saying stop at 75. There's a lot of controversy as far as the treatment, or the screening of it. But still, I think most people are going to say have your baseline at 40.
There is, I want to get the Obamacare thing, but there's one thing I really want to mention, and only just briefly. All this carping about fake news and journalists being legitimate or illegitimate. You want to have that argument, go ahead. You need great journalism in this country. But if we start questioning the validity of extensive medical research and doctors going deep on any particular topic that has absolutely been proven to be nonsense, we have a huge problem. That's why I'm concerned. And, Doc, I know you share this concern.
Yep.
about the possibility Donald Trump's chosen vaccine czar, Robert Kennedy Jr., bringing up this notion that vaccines may lead to disease and may be tied to autism. It's an absolute false story. It's complete BS. It's incredibly dangerous. Kids need to be vaccinated. That's the end of the story. And if anybody starts not trusting their doctors on this, well, God help us all.
Could not agree more with you. You know, people have to realize how many lives we have saved. And like you said, there has been numerous studies showing that there's no link. And for Mr. Trump to say to Robert Kennedy, I'd like you to lead this commission, is very concerning to the medical public, because he will have the voice, unfortunately, of some media outlets that may push that story. And we really have to be very, very careful, because some parents are deciding not to have immunizations and vaccinations. And that is bad for all of us. Some of the reasons why we have whooping cough back, some of the reasons why, you know, we're starting to see outbreaks of mumps and measles. So it's very concerning to the medical public.
We'll come back more with Dr. Kevin Mills. We'll talk about Obamacare and where it goes from here as the gutless Congress creeped through the night and did what they did this weekend. Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us. It's sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. A lot of talk about Obamacare now. What have you done by way of preparation in the healthcare business? What are your concerns? Where are you guys with this?
Yeah, we are very concerned. everybody probably knows what happened. Hopefully you do, because this is everyone's like, oh, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act got repealed this weekend. And it's like, no. You have to realize what the steps are in the government that we have to take. But unfortunately, that there were some things that were put together with a budget resolution that passed, which allowed something called reconciliation to occur. And reconciliation, changes can be made to laws with just a simple majority. Now, the caveat of that is that this was a budget resolution, so the only thing that they can really change in the Affordable Care Act is things that have to do with finances. But unfortunately, those are the things that is going to unravel this very quickly.
Because that's subsidies to cover costs and put them in position where the next step is, okay, we got to get rid of it.
Correct. So, I mean, you know, some of them, they can repeal the employer mandate. That's not going to do too much. Most companies with more than 50 employees have already had this in place. They can repeal the individual mandate. Well, okay, so if they do, now we have some people that aren't going to get insurance and we'll be back. Probably the biggest one is the elimination of the subsidies for the exchange, because about 85% of people who go onto the exchange get that subsidy. These are the working poor individuals in our country. You know, Stephen, I don't know if you know, but a family of four that makes $40,000 a year, so that's a job that pays $20 an hour. Their subsidy for this is $6,400, and they pay $2,000. These people are the people that live paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
They can't afford to pay that full premium. They can barely afford to probably pay the $170 a month, which is taking money either out of their savings or out of their groceries for their family.
And if you start peeling apart the bill without a constructive redo on it, because look, the Republicans have gone again and again and just politically shut this thing down, and now even at this moment don't have a cohesive plan on what they want to do. And by the way, Trump's nonsense this weekend about, I've got a plan, it's a secret, I'll tell you when I want to.
Yeah.
Oh, God, grow up. All of that's nonsense, but it creates stress for people. It creates concern for people. And in a world of stress and concern, it's really unfair to do this to folks. And here's the bottom line. If you think healthcare costs can be controlled by this sort of nonsense, hospitals will continue to treat patients, including patients who can't pay for it. Somebody's going to have to eat that cost. And eventually it means you guys have to charge more for things. That's just math.
It is. You know, like you said, we never turn anybody away. Anybody comes to our doors, we're going to take care of them. That's every single hospital in this country. We do not turn people away. But you also have to make sure that you have the ability to take care of others. So, you know, parts of the Affordable Care Act were great, because we had individuals where they couldn't afford their bill, and now we at least get a portion of it from the federal government, and it allows that individual to not be forced into payment plans and bankruptcies and the bad things that we've heard. So the financial side of it is still up in the air and what's going to happen and how quickly, although he says he's going to repeal, how quickly? Is this going to be something over 2 years, 3 years? You know, it's repeal and replace. A lot of us are thinking it's repeal and delay because they really don't have a plan right now.
Right. And if you repeal, there's no automatic guarantee that your kid's going to be able to stay on your plan until you're 26. There's no guarantee that women aren't going to be charged more for less coverage and all the things that we hate about it now.
Right. So that's one thing that people are concerned about right now. At least you can take a step back and say, hey, guys, this budget resolution does not allow them to touch those things. It can't touch allowing the adults to take their kids off. It can't prevent insurers from declining coverage for pre-existing conditions. It can't block insurers from kicking you out once you get sick. Those are all parts of the Affordable Care Act that need to will stay in place because it's not a budgetary portion of it. So right now, all they can do is hit the financial. And, you know, without hearing what their plan is, we all speculate what their plan is.
Right.
Are they going to go to health savings, you know, accounts? Are they going to go to high deductibles? Some of these are terrible for the people that they're looking at. So we're going to be in for a wild ride here for a while.
And it doesn't automatically fix it just by saying you're going to allow people to buy insurance across state lines, because the insurance companies have considered all these options and they need to protect their end as well.
Absolutely. If we think that allowing insurance companies across state lines is going to make this more competitive, I hate to tell you guys, there's a lot of insurance companies right now that wanted to get out of the exchanges because they got crushed financially.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of them that are very hesitant to say, how deep are we going to jump into this water and what are we going to do? They're trying to figure out the plan right now. Look at the premiums this year. They've gone up 25, 30, 50% in some cases because actuaries did not do a great job in predicting what the costs would be.
One more political thing, I'll let you go because we're late here, but there was a statement by Trump and Trump's people that he's going to go after the pharmaceutical companies and force price fixing, essentially, on them. The pharmaceutical companies have a huge lobby in Washington. The lobby lobbies Congress. Congress creates and makes the laws. The president's job is to sign or veto. So I don't want people to think that this is something that is another promise that's going to be delivered, because the president doesn't have the power to do that.
They don't. He doesn't. You know, the one thing we need to look at is the cost of drugs to Medicare individuals because of the thing called the donut hole, where essentially portion of the year they're responsible for what could be very expensive medications. And Medicare can't go and negotiate with pharmaceutical companies. So there's got to be a little give and take on both sides there, I think.
Yeah, and the pharmaceutical companies would be smart because it's obviously the right thing to do if they jumped ahead with their own plan to say, here's where we're going to save people costs.
Yep.
Nice job by you as always, Doug. Thank you.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
There are many Cub fans in attendance wondering if they will see history tonight that favors Chicago. Ross flies one into center, sends Davis back at the wall, and it's gone! The 39-year-old in his final game, David Ross, has made it 6-3. Now the game is in the hands of Aroldis Chapman. Grounds crew is told by this umpiring crew and the crew chief, John Hirschbeck, bring out the tarp.
In a weird way, was that a positive for you guys to take a break during the rain delay?
I don't like rain delays, but
yeah.
But it gave us a chance, you know, to actually talk to each other on a one-on-one level with the whole team and put things into realization.
Zobrist stands a base hit. Cubs will take the lead. Almora dig into the plate. Zobrist delivers 7-6 in the 10th.
Hey, hey, holy mackerel, no doubt about it. The Cubs are on their way. Hey, hey, hey!
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series! Bryant makes the play! It's over!
The good Lord wants the Cubs to win!
This is the year!
You, Joe Buck, make those calls. Where the hell did anybody come up with the idea it was biased against the Cubs? Come on!
He was a little bit.
He said over and over again it was his dream to call a Cubs World Series. I didn't know if I ever believed him, but he sounded like it.
Well, what would you expect to final out to sound something like this then?
Cubs in the World Series. And then the countdown till the Cardinals open camp. I mean, come on. Give the guy a break. All right, everybody sing. Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Sandberg, does the guy that hates me still call every morning and criticize sports? He does? We got some guy that listens who calls and leaves literally three-minute hate messages on Sandberg's voicemail every day.
And you don't know him?
No.
Is that like an alleged friend of yours?
He doesn't like you, but he also doesn't like Dave either.
Yeah, he hates Ennett. I mean, I can understand hating me, but how do you hate Ennett?
Does he like me?
Okay. All right, Trump. It's not about you. It's 7:17. We'll get to traffic in just a second. Ryan Burrow's covering the Cubs at the White House. They're helping Obama move, I hope.
I think so. Everyone's got to grab a box. Everyone brought some tape along with them. You know, it's tough, though, when you're trying to move people in and out because they are setting up the inaugural parade. I'm just outside of the North Lawn right now, and they've got all the bleachers set up, and the crews are working to put up this big metal gate. It's kind of like, do you remember NATO, how they actually, for Lollapalooza, they do that, too. They bring them up and down Michigan Avenue. Very, very similar.
Difference, though, for the inauguration is teenagers don't go to the mall and bury booze the day before.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Ryan, what can we expect to see? The team will get there, and then the ceremony, and who do we know who's speaking from the team?
Well, we know afterwards, there's going to be a stakeout afterwards, and the White House has said it will be Joe Madden, Theo Epstein, and Anthony Rizzo. So, of course, some of the bigger names that will be appearing. But, you know, we're going to see, hopefully, nearly everyone. The one exception being Jake Arrieta, apparently not going to be in attendance as a family medical issue. We know about that tweet he sent out immediately after the election telling all the Hollywood stars to, you know, head north or south of the border now that Trump is one. But, you know, during the convention, he kind of pulled back from that and said, look, that was not a political comment one way or another. He just kind of wanted to make fun of all the Hollywood starlets who were ripping on Trump. So but he says that's not why he's not coming.
Yeah, I think fans are curious about this, though, because his child has a dentist appointment.
No. Mother-in-law is ill or has some kind of procedure.
Oh,
or something.
I had heard it was a kid dentist appointment. No,
it's both. The kid has the dental procedure today. The mother-in-law is ill as well. But, of course, he was at the convention over the weekend, which kind of doesn't all... It's hard to add all that up.
It seems odd.
He said, by the way, he did not vote. So I don't really know how much stock we can put in any of what he says.
Another
politically, so.
Reason
what
was to he, be
was
upset
he, was he hanging out with the quarterback from the Niners?
Hey, the guy got 18 wins, so I think we'll cut him a break, right?
Yeah, exactly. The event today was moved up so that President Obama could actually be the guy that welcomed them and did all that. That all makes sense. But he is a White Sox fan, so is he going to work the Sox into the conversation today?
I'm sure President Obama will. By the way, I'm sure you guys already saw the release. Mayor Emanuel is going to be here as well. And getting back to Andrea's point, as far as the players who are going to be here, this is kind of cool because, and I talked about this yesterday with Mark during his show, you know, this usually happens during the following baseball season, so all the players who are lost, you know, in trades or free agent signings aren't able to attend. But we've had at least, there's been one report that Aroldis Chapman's been walking around, so he should be in attendance. And it sounds like Dexter Fowler will be here as well, which will be really cool. Because if it was during the season, those guys probably wouldn't be here.
Madden actually is going to have Aroldis Chapman come in, leave, and come in again too soon.
They don't have the rings yet, do they? When do the rings come in?
No, I think that'll be once the baseball season gets started, I would think. There will be a big ceremony for that. But this thing's actually going to be kind of a drive-by, at least the way the schedule's set up right now. I mean, they're going to get the full-on tour, which Chris Bryant said is going to be awesome. He's been here before but didn't get the A-plus tour, as he said. He got the C tour, so we'll see how in-depth, if they get into all the bathtubs and the Taft stories and things like that. After the tour, they're going to do a quick, probably about a half-hour event in the East Room, and then at that point there's going to be a stakeout for Theo Rizzo and who was my third person that I said? Joe Madden. So
the stairway that leads to the private residence is kind of center cut, and tell the guys if you see them, the Secret Service loves if you run up there and knock on the door.
Yeah, bring
I bet.
Bring us some blades of grass from the White House lawn.
Well, this is
a divot.
Is the
you want a
house,
divot?
Right?
A divot, yeah, or some veggies from the garden.
I'm wondering if Grandma Robinson will let me play Xbox for a little bit before this thing gets started.
Yeah, why not?
So we've got a little bit of time.
If it's still plugged in, why not?
It's the people's house, yeah.
There's some great old stories, you know, that go through the time of Abraham Lincoln, where you could walk up to the front door and there'd be a day during the week. Mm-hmm. It's like question time in the UK. Where you could walk up, knock on the front door, and stand in line and bitch to the president.
I saw that over the weekend. There was a documentary called White House Mysteries. Yeah. And it was things like that, like Washington never lived in the White House, Lincoln never slept in the Lincoln bedroom.
I can't remember if it was Jackson. One of the presidents actually jumped out of the window because somebody was coming in to yell at him.
It was Jackson, I think.
Yeah.
It was a cool documentary.
There's a big complaints box here that you can drop complaints in out in front. So there you go.
All right. Really?
That's mostly. By the way, that's mostly from the media.
So, right. Yeah. Say hi to Bo and Sonny.
What do you mean the next administration's going to push us out of the White
House? Right. Ryan Burrow on a case for ABC News and for us, and we'll hear you throughout the day.
All right, sounds good.
See you, Ryan. So do you think the moving truck pulls in, like, Thursday night?
Here's the weird part, and I salute the Obamas for doing this. They got two guys in a truck. One truck.
Yeah.
Just two guys in a truck. Are you going to watch this tonight?
Sure. You steal something if you're Ryan Burrow, right? You definitely take some grass or a little knick-knack, something. You have to. You can't go to the White House and not have some form of...
There are souvenirs.
Yeah, but that's no fun.
I would do the blades of
grass. Which part do you consider fun, the arrest or the conviction?
Well,
both.
I'd get somebody like you, Steve, to bail me out. If I'm going, if I had Burrow's assignment, I would have to take something. Is that wrong?
Listen, whether there's Boy Scouts in the building or a potential terrorist on the front lawn, the Secret Service treats you all the same. Steal something? I don't think it's a good call.
There's got to be something, though. You can grab a pebble or something, put it in your bag.
What about a little towel in the bathroom? You know, a little White House towel.
So when you use the bathroom in the White House, you're going to go through the medicine cabinet, see, what's this? It's a salve for a rash. Oh, no.
Take a roll of toilet paper.
That would be way too big.
Do you think it says WH on there or something like that, and you could bring it home? Come on.
I don't think the toilet paper has the White House logo on it. That seems wrong.
What kind of toilet paper do they use at the White House?
Two-ply.
A little classier? A cocktail napkin.
Right.
I bet you could take that.
You're listening to Theft Ideas from the White House, a new feature we're doing.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
You do not consider him a legitimate president. Why is that?
I think the Russians participated in helping this man get elected, and they helped destroy the candidacy of Hillary Clinton.
That's Georgia Congressman John Lewis, a civil rights icon. He was beaten nearly to death on Bloody Sunday and holds an annual march over the bridge in Selma. He went on to say he wouldn't invite Trump on that march. Did he go too far in those statements? Well, that's a matter of opinion. And even if you're in Congress, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're also entitled not to give it. And sometimes that's the better move. However, the reporting you're going to hear today, much of it is about he doesn't consider Trump a legitimate president, doesn't consider Trump a legitimate president. What he said is, I don't consider Trump a legitimate president because I think the Russians helped get him elected. That's an opinion. That's not an attack on Trump. However, Trump took it that way. And on the weekend leading up to Martin Luther King's celebration today, Martin Luther King Day, he then responded, Congressman John Lewis should finally focus on the burning and crime-infested inner cities of the U.S. I can use all the help I can get, including his own district, which is a mess. Crime-ridden. Congressman John Lewis, and you could find this out in a simple Google search prior to tweeting a mistake. Congressman John Lewis is a congressman for what amounts to downtown Atlanta, which includes Georgia Tech, Emory University, Coca-Cola, other corporate headquarters. And I believe his district even goes out to a portion of Buckhead, which is the most upscale suburb close into Atlanta. The point being, Donald Trump continues to seem to have this idea that every black inner city neighborhood is on fire, that every black inner city neighborhood is under attack. This goes to the campaign with the what the hell do you have to lose comments. He continues to make his situation worse. Tweet less and don't hit send. And have someone screen every one of your tweets. Every one. I don't care if you're at the house in your gold-lined underpants at 1 o'clock in the morning. Call Kellyanne Conway, call Reince Priebus, call somebody and say, this is what I'm about to tweet before you become a fool. Because that's a foolish tweet. As was his response to John Brennan. The CIA director, the outgoing CIA director, was asked yesterday about how he feels about Trump's attack on the intelligence agencies, one of which he has represented and, frankly, represented well.
When you briefed the president on it, you collectively briefed the president on it, president-elect, that made it news.
Well, nothing has been verified. It is unsubstantiated reporting that is out there that has been circulating in the private sector and in the media as well by a firm that pulled this information together. But what I do find outrageous is equating an intelligence community with Nazi Germany. I do take great umbrage at that, and there is no basis for Mr. Trump to point fingers at the intelligence community for leaking information that was already available publicly.
Okay, that is not an opinion. That is constructive criticism. That is saying with the – you know what that is? That's saying, understand who your friends are. Your friends are the intelligence community. And calling the people who protect you and this country – or equating them with Nazi Germany is outrageous. Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculous thing to say.
And these people are allowed to give their opinions, too.
And Donald Trump took it like a man. Oh, no, that's right. Here's his tweet. Outgoing CIA chief John Brennan blasts President-elect Trump on Russia threat, does not fully understand. And then his response. Oh, really? Oh, really? Couldn't do much worse. Just look at Syria, Crimea, Ukraine, the buildup of Russian nukes. Not good. Was this the leader, the leaker of fake news? Was this the leaker of, in other words, the outgoing CIA director? Did he leak the information to NBC News? The leaker of fake news, by the way, has been determined to be fake. Okay.
You know, that term, though, is making me crazy.
But you can't accuse. Listen, if you're mad at John Brennan, then you can take that up with John Brennan and whoever the new, well, when Pompeo comes in as the new CIA director. This stuff needs to happen behind closed doors. Stop acting like a 12-year-old. You're making your situation worse every time. Don't hit send. For the good of your presidency, have someone screen your tweets, you old fool. Be back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Cuts it back right at the 30. Go. Lewis to the 35, 40. Dion trying to get outside of the 50. Outrunning the Texans down the right side of the 25, 20. Goodbye. Dion Lewis takes it to the house. What? Touchdown, Patriots.
Ryan the snap. Seahawks rush four. Matt moves left. Going to throw. Wide open. Taught. Touchdown. Tevin Coleman in Atlanta.
Alex Smith will hold it. Fires it late. Wide open. Harris in the back of the end zone. 2-point conversion, but a flag on the play. Hang on.
51-yard field goal attempt. Snap. Placement. Kick to the uprights. And it is right down.
Yes.
It is good. And the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
.744, you know, right through the Super Bowl, Camp, OB, and Kaz live together, and Mark Carmen's their houseboy. And
that's rough. I miss them. It's hard for me, Steve.
Runs errands for them.
Makes a big pot of chili.
Allows himself to be yelled at.
Yep.
Occasionally, Hamp will just pick him up and throw a perfect spiral, but it's Carmen. He spirals Carmen across the room. The Hall of Famer joins us now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, and don't forget, he's great about getting scratch cards checked out.
It's true. Oh, that's excellent. He's so handy. You know, buddy, I know how much you despise kickers, but the two best games of the weekend were at least in part kicker showcases.
Absolutely. You know, and that's one thing that, and we're going to, you know, obviously talk about each of these games, but The Pittsburgh kicker. I mean, you talk about, hey, make 2, 3, 4, 5, and now 6.
Right.
That's pretty good stuff. And it wasn't the, obviously the game was delayed because an ice threat. It was 32 degrees. It wasn't, balmy 50. So, I mean, that's some pretty good stuff. But Green Bay, yeah, we saw it once again. Mike McCarthy's smart coach. And Rod Marinelli had very few answers for him. We've seen that over the years here in Chicago, but you got to tell yourself, hey, what's going to take to stop the Packers? They've won 8 in a row now, and they look serious.
Aaron Rodgers is ridiculous. I mean, there's good and then there's him. But how, if you're the Cowboys, do you have those two secondary collapses, a terrible pass interference penalty, and a ball that's nowhere near the defender that gets called, and then to slack off and allow Rodgers to wrist flick that 3rd and 20 and get the first down that sets up the field goal? I mean, you know, it comes down to those two plays.
Absolutely. And Cook, the big tight end, keeping his feet in at the last seconds of the game. And again, I got to tell you, you know, every once in a while, you don't have to be great all the time, but once in a while, you got to step up, and you got to give the Packers credit. Like I said, the last 3 months, they've made it a lot of really good plays. They've basically said, hey, you can't beat us. And they're backing it up. And, hey, it would be great. It would be a great thing to play this game, which obviously a lot of folks know is maybe the most physical, tough game and, you know, mentally taxing, since there's so many different, you know, variations, formats, permutations of how you have – well, the Packers, they cranked it up a notch, and it looks to me like they're going to march on Atlanta now.
Sports Report sponsored by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Don't miss your chance to catch Big Ten basketball. Welsh Ryan Arena, Coach Collins of the Cats hosting Illinois, Michigan, Purdue, and more. Single game tickets on sale now, nusports.com. Hey, Ham, is anybody beating New England? I know Brady wasn't great, but still threw a couple of touchdown passes. Patriots are 15-2, and I also know they're playing the Texans, who were lucky to be in the game. But you think anybody beats New England?
Well, I think I mentioned this last week. I don't know if it means anything, but back in August, I had Pittsburgh and Green Bay in the Super Bowl. Well, I'm still in it. Both of them have to go on the road. If there was one team in the league, and that's kind of the way I evaluated it, was, okay, who can beat the Patriots? If Brady is healthy and you know, doing what he does, who could be? Well, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we know that, with, you know, they're calling it the killer bees, and hey, it's pretty awesome. And the one thing about New England is everybody keeps, and I don't want to say overvaluing New England, but everything is predicated on Tom Brady being great. You know, Deion Lewis is a good player. LeGarrette Blount, a good player. But these aren't, you know, a suitcase full of all pros that, you know, it's kind of a one-man show. And if Tom Brady doesn't give them a lead, that defense can be punctured and gashed. And even though they're number one in the league in scoring, it's because of the fact that pretty much in 15 games now, New England's got a lead, and now you've got to play one-dimensional offense. And they know what they're doing. And Mike Patricia is a pretty good coordinator. So if anybody can beat them, well, I kind of think Pittsburgh will. And I don't know what the spread's going to be, but I'm just saying, hey, I'm going to ride Pittsburgh out and see what happens.
Camp, do you watch the games alone? Do you get the guys over and have little hors d'oeuvres and order pizza, hang out with the boys?
Yeah, OB and finger sandwiches.
You know, by the way, OB texted me yesterday in the second quarter of the Dallas-Green Bay game, and he said, this guy is not from this planet. So when you got a guy like OB that's, so impressed by a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, that's something. He's watched the game a long time. But on Saturday, I had a couple of friends over, sure. But yesterday, Gina and I watched it, and she's kind of a novice football fan in the sense that I'm always asking her, so why do teams have to punt? And It's funny getting those answers.
She's adorable. I love Gina.
And it's safer when Gina's in the room, because I've been in the room, and so have you, Karen, with Hamp watching a game, and there are things that can happen in a game that could be threats to the television.
Not safe.
Absolutely, and, you know, we don't have to nail things down, and, of course, it makes it a nice Sunday afternoon.
Sandberg's got a question for you. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more, too, about the coming weekend and the conference championships. This is Dan Hampton time, and it's sponsored by your Northwest Chicagoland and your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevy dealers. Number one for 6 years in a row. More in a second. Back with the Hampster. It's Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. Hamp, I'm on a plane last night coming back from Florida, and I was watching the game, and then commercial comes on. I'm clicking through, and the Bears 30 for 30 was on again. I can't not watch it.
So
I don't,
good.
I don't care if I've seen 2 minutes of it, 60 minutes of it. It's just a must stop and see it again.
Really happy that it came out as well as it did. And, you know, time marches on. Things change. Now Buddy's no longer with us. It'd be tough for me to watch it right now. Again, I was really happy about it. But, you know, I don't know if you've seen this. And it happened, 30 years ago, last week or so, the Fog Bowl.
Yeah.
And when we filmed it, I think it was in the fall or the summer. And, you know, it was coming on the heels of the other documentary. And in my mind, I was kind of thinking, well, I don't know if this is going to be that good. They had us in a big dark room, and they were blowing fog in our face, you know. With the stand, I'm thinking, okay, this looks a little contrived. It's kind of Svengoolie-ish, you know.
Sure.
And it was really terrific, and I learned so much. I happened to I got a notification on my phone, and it said, oh, the Fog Bowl thing's going on. So I said, I'm going to watch it. And I learned so much about, you know, how the heat inversion and
the meteorology behind it, how it happened.
I was there. I saw it. And, you know, like I sometimes say about nerve, you know, it's like air. I know I can't see it, but I know when you don't have it. Well, that day I saw something that I don't think I'll ever see again. And it's nice to kind of get the backstory now, 30 years later.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If Tom was there, he would have went, oh, for crying out loud, Dan. Oh, geez. Let me get in the huddle with you and explain this.
And, you know, there was no fog over like where the Conrad Hilton, where we, you know, where we stay. There was no fog there. It was just right there at the stadium.
Yeah,
it was
Soldier Field.
Wow.
Fog drop. Sandberg, say hi to him.
Hey, Dan. I have a question for you. Devin Hester said he probably played his last game after Saturday.
By the way, and that's after he scored a touchdown that was called back on a penalty.
I can't believe he's 34. But aside from that, I want to know how they get paid when you get signed right before the playoffs. Do the league minimum still apply, or do you get
$16 and a sandwich?
you know,
short contracts.
Everybody's got their own gig. Traditionally, for instance, a normal year's salary is prorated into 8 payments. So, you know, 16 weeks, 8 payments, where you get 1/8. And then if he's one game, you get essentially a 32nd of what, you know, whether it's $5 million or $20 million, whatever you decide, whatever you agree to. But then, of course, the league minimum, which I don't know what it is now, for a veteran with 14 years or 13 or whatever. And then you would get a prorated share of that. And if they won, you know, if they had won against Atlanta, then he gets a second check the next week and so forth. And the thing is, I've seen guys, you know, they'll come back and they'll get hot. And, you know, he made a couple of big plays. And you know what? I know he's saying, you know, he's done. But, hey, and until they make you stop, why? And it's a great game. I don't know why you'd want to quit if he can still make plays like that.
Do you remember the biggest check you ever got? Because you played in the non-direct deposit, still get a paper check era.
Let me think. My last year, I was on a prorated salary of and it was like $1 million, but I had to play every game and I didn't, and yada yada yada. So for me, that was a big deal. Now the deep snappers are laughing and getting those kind of checks.
How about that? We'll break down the conference championships coming up later in the week. Packers, Falcons, Steelers, Patriots. Boy, on paper, those are a couple of good old-fashioned football games.
Well, and again, that's the way it should be. The show ponies have arrived. Now we're going to see who gets around the track first.
Well, the best, that's the Hall of Famer, Dan Hempton.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Ah, boy. Sometimes the show off the air is funny. It's 8:14. Dean's here. Hi, Dean.
What are you laughing at?
I can't tell you.
What am I, funny just, like a clown?
It's just that dirty. I can't tell you.
What am I?
Yeah. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
Thanks for doing the show, Friday.
Oh, it was fun.
Yeah? And any trouble?
No.
Well, tell me about the staffers. Anybody give you some heat? Any trouble?
I'll send you a private email on that later.
Do you share my fear of Sandberg?
I'd say there's a steely quality to keep the train on the track.
Sometimes I have to remind myself it's the Steve Cochran show, because sometimes, you know, she'll look at me like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I'm going, whoa.
I think you, like me, if somebody jingled their keys in front of us, we get so distracted.
That's true.
By little things that you need somebody who, keep you on track, keep you focused, keep you awake.
Well, I've busted her before because one of the cute things she does is she'll totally blow off something I've asked her to do, hoping I'll forget about it. And 99% of the time I do. So, you know, that way she doesn't have to tell me I'm stupid. She can just hope I forgot.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone knows you're stupid. I don't think there's any question about that.
Ouch. Why go public with it?
I think the only thing we had to keep Dean in line is at 9:35, he started introducing the 9:40 guest, completely skipping over a big story, two commercial breaks, a sports, and a traffic.
In the middle of a newscast. Yeah. I thought the news was over. And
I just thought it was a long preview, Dean.
Well, you know what's weird? I did exactly the same thing on my show yesterday.
Oh, this show you've done for 30 years.
Yeah. This is how it starts. This is how it starts. I'm going to be showing up soon not wearing pants.
Dean's 90. How old's your mom?
94. We had a lovely birthday dinner with her last night at my favorite Greek restaurant, Psistaria.
And did
in Lincolnwood.
What'd you order?
What did she order?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She loves fried smelts. They have fried smelts there.
Mm-hmm. My mom loves those.
And they bone them. And you put a little lemon on them, and they are delicious. She ate half of them.
Smelts are tiny. You have to bring out a tiny chef to debone them.
That's very true. With tiny hands. You know anyone like that?
Trump?
Anyone with Trumpy hands?
Yeah, that's the way they ran the ad. If you have Trump hands, we have a smelt job for you. But the reason I bring all that up is, does your mom notice that you're getting older?
No, she still treats me like I'm 12.
When we come back, the Trump inaugural performers are confirmed, and the arm fart guy is not on the list, so I'm a little disturbed by that. Octavia Spencer did a nice thing this weekend. The Ringling Brothers Circus is closing for good.
Wah, wah, wah.
And the rest of Saturday Night Live wasn't funny, but the first 10 minutes sure were. We'll come back with some clips and some stuff and Dean and all that. Dean, don't wander off. Don't wander off.
I'm right here.
8:17. The segment's still going on. It's 8:17.
What did he say?
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. The entire 8 o'clock hour is Dean. I was at a wedding in Florida this weekend.
How was that?
It was entertaining. And I had one of my theories of life confirmed, and that is, if you're wondering if groups of white people are having a good time, just listen for the whooping. Woo! 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 You get packs of white people together having fun, there's going to be whooping.
Wow. At a wedding. Usually you don't hear the whooping at a wedding.
Oh, yeah, a lot of whooping. A lot of whooping. You know, the couples come in for the introductions.
Woo! Woo!
Oh, the introductions. Yes.
Dinner's served. Woo! Woo! They also had their dog there in a tie, which, you know, I wouldn't normally be a fan of, but it was cute.
I was at a wedding over the summer where the dog was part of the best men.
Your dog was in the
bride. It was in the wedding party.
That's
yeah,
great.
It was a groomsman.
That's tremendous.
It was a groomsman.
Yeah. You know what the dog said? Woo! A lot of whooping.
Because it was a white wedding?
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Trump inaugural performers. You want to talk about a list of A-listers. Oof. You know how bad the Trump inaugural performers list is? Dancing with the Stars said, yeah, none of them. Not one.
I'm just concerned, you know, I hope all these people's schedules will be free and can play Taste of Elmwood Park this year.
A couple of them have the Taste of Elmwood Park, but they're also eligible to play Match Game. And they want to, you know.
By the way, Elmwood Park is on the phone right now saying no.
No, say no as well. No. All right, who's on the list?
We have the group Three Doors Down.
Woo!
Okay, quick, name one song by Three Doors Down.
Knock, knock, knocking on Three Doors Down. No.
Not
I guarantee you, maybe you don't remember the song, but their song Kryptonite was actually a pretty big hit.
Yeah, that's true.
In the year 2000.
Yeah, it's a good song.
In the year 2000.
Yeah, it's a good song.
A good Conan a bit.
You want to hear a little Kryptonite?
I'd love to hear a
Kryptonite,
little.
Kryptonite, I've got Kryptonite, and it's making me weaker. Back to you.
Lee Greenwood is confirmed.
But there's a law that he has to perform at every inaugural.
Has he been at every inaugural?
Yeah, everyone.
Okay.
Goes all the way back to Washington.
There with his patented God Bless the USA.
Yeah, it was originally God Bless the 13 Colonies.
Toby Keith,
that makes sense.
The
Toby
country
Keith?
Singer.
Sure.
Yeah. Who else do we have here? The 15-year-old America's Got Talent runner-up, Jackie Evancho.
Oh, I heard her sing this weekend. She was on CBS Sunday Morning.
She's a good singer.
Unbelievable.
She's a good singer.
Yeah, and she has, this is an interesting story. She has a transgender sister, and she's getting crushed online. She's a kid. She is literally a kid. And these cowards online are attacking this kid and attacking her transgender sister. Let me explain something to you. You don't like her politics? She doesn't have politics. She's 16. Leave her alone.
It probably didn't help when Trump tweeted, Jackie's album sales have skyrocketed after announcing her inauguration performance.
I was shocked that he lied. But she's singing the anthem. Leave her alone.
Parts of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Did they get the tab, the knackle?
Which, they got the knackle. The knackle will
just
be
the knackle.
The knackle will be there. Okay. Parts of the Rockettes will be there.
Mm-hmm. I believe Carla and Becky are the two Rockettes who are showing up.
And
one's doing right leg, one's doing left leg.
You may recall that at Barack Obama's first inaugural, Bruce Springsteen performed.
Uh-huh.
This one has Bruce Springsteen cover band called B Street.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Ooh, how'd they get done?
Oh, actor John Voight. Don't forget him. He's in.
What's he going to do?
I don't know. He's an actor.
And say hi?
What do you do? Do a scene from Coming Home?
The great news is with this shortage of entertainment, they actually are doing no balls. They're just having one reception. It's 12 minutes long. And that's it.
Are you impressed at the restraint that I had when you just said?
I just looked at him too.
No balls. Yeah.
Yeah. I shouldn't say that about Trump. You talk about balls.
This is really the story of this whole thing. The Jennifer Holliday, Tony Award winner from the original Dreamgirls,
It's Raining Men,
sang. Well, she sang the song "And I Am Telling You," the famous song from a Dreamgirls production.
Oh, you want to hear a little bit of that?
She
and I'm telling you, again and again. It's more of a spoken word thing.
Yeah. I'm telling you, Kryptonite.
Yeah.
First, she confirmed that she would be performing at the event.
And?
And then she got a huge backlash from her fans, many of which are LGBT, saying how disappointed they were that she was going to be performing at this. And then she issued a statement saying, I made a bad judgment. My fans, who you know, have been behind me and loyal to me from the beginning, I didn't even think about that. And then she pulled out. She canceled.
All right. So, again, the list includes Gallagher, a mallet, and a guy named Dave on a banjo.
Watermelon. A watermelon.
Right. Okay. Octavia Spencer.
Did a very nice thing. Her movie, Taraji P. Henson, Janelle Monáe, Kevin Costner, Jim Parsons, their movie, Hidden Figures, is the number one movie this past weekend, kind of apropos for the MLK weekend, story of a civil rights story of these three unsung heroes of the early NASA space program. She bought out an entire theater in Los Angeles and then put on her Instagram account, if you'd like to go, first come, first serve, for people who couldn't afford to go see the movie. She made a screening available for people in Los Angeles, which was, I think, very, very nice.
That was very nice of her. Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey, Friesen, Glossian, and Farfik Nugent Circus is closing for good.
When's the last time you went to the circus?
Probably 10, 15, maybe. I was 12.
And that was 10 or 15 years ago?
No, I was trying to think if I was 10 or
15. What kind of crazy math are you doing?
Well, if you subtract the other 25 or so.
What kind of abacus are you using to calculate your mathematics? I took my nieces and nephews some time ago, and they enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think little kids today are, they're so razzle-dazzled by video games and instant gratification. And
yeah, unless the elephants have lasers flying out of their butts.
Yeah, right. They would rather watch elephants on their iPhones than watch actual ones in front of them.
And that's the only thing I agree with PETA on. Elephants shouldn't text. Because of their giant hooves, they hit all the same
so many mistakes.
Letters and numbers. So I mean, there's not enough spell check to fix that.
So many mistakes. Or the screen has to be so gigantic that it's ridiculous. So the Ringling Brothers Circus saying declining attendance, high operating costs. Animal rights groups have been on their backs for decades.
Good news is Donald Trump has already said that he is demanding jobs for unemployed elephants in Indiana. So we're hoping that works out.
Yeah, but they're working for peanuts.
All right, I can't reach you from here. Wah, go ahead and smack yourself.
Started in the mid-1800s. How about that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They only had one ring then.
The last time they were here in Chicago was this past November. That's going to be the last time that we're going to see the greatest show.
The annual circus trip, which put the Hawks and the Bulls on the road for all that time.
Very true.
All right, so Saturday Night Live, Alec Baldwin was back.
He was back spoofing Donald Trump's press conference from last week. Here's a little of it.
Yes, Mr. Trump, you and the Republicans want to repeal Obamacare, but why would you do that before coming up with a replacement plan?
Because Obamacare is a disaster, and I actually do have a replacement plan, okay? I just read about it this week. It's a terrific plan, just great. It's called the Affordable Care Act.
That's the same thing as Obamacare, and if you repeal it, 20 million people will lose their health insurance. I mean, people could die.
Listen, sweetheart, I'm about to be president. We're all going to die. Next question.
So, you want to hear a little kryptonite?
Sure.
I think I've got it here. Let's see. I am somewhere in the sands of time, but I watch the world. Remember this? Because you're going to hear it again Friday.
Thursday.
Oh, they're playing Thursday?
The performers are performing at an event Thursday at the Lincoln Memorial.
I thought I liked this.
It has to kick in a little bit. I watch the world
flip to the dark side of the moon. Okay.
Want to hear what Donald Trump tweeted after Saturday Night Live?
Sure.
He said, NBC News is bad, but Saturday Night Live is the worst of NBC. Not funny, cast is terrible, always a complete hit job, really bad television.
It's funny, America does not seem to agree. America seems to really enjoy it. You know me, I don't like to weigh on these things. If we have another clip?
No, I do not want to talk about the PP. I want to talk about what is really important, which is jobs, okay? Because I am going to bring back a thick stream of jobs back into this country. The biggest, strongest, steadiest stream you've ever seen. This country will be literally showered with jobs. Because I am a major whiz at jobs. This will be a golden opportunity for me as president to make a big splash. Now, who's with me? I know you're in. How about you? You're in? You're in? You're in? You're in? You're in? Okay.
Does he write that?
No.
Oh, that's no hilarious.
Way. There's 15 people on this show who sit around in a room and giggle with one more reference.
Doing pee jokes.
Yeah. And by the way, if you don't understand why that's funny, spend 3 minutes on the internet, you will. all right, buddy. Thank you.
See ya.
Back with a big story next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
8:44 now on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Unless you live in Biloxi, Mississippi, where there was a firestorm of controversy over the past week or so, when it was revealed that the city of Biloxi doesn't call Martin Luther King Day Martin Luther King Day. They called it Great Americans Day. Wait, it gets worse, because they also celebrate today the life of Robert E. Lee, the Civil War hero for the South. Anyone see a juxtaposition of problems there?
Big time.
Yep. It was such a great movie, too, Biloxi Blues, and just to disgrace your town like that, what are you doing?
The mayor has stepped up and said, we're going to fix this. But it's been that way forever, and until it blew up on social media, they hadn't even addressed it.
Yeah, many Southern schools still call it the War of Northern Aggression.
The Great Americans Day.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
That's painful.
The honor is there, and it needs to be recognized by everyone, even the politicians of Biloxi. It was the summer of 1966. I believe it actually happened before the summer, when Martin Luther King moved his family into one of the worst neighborhoods in Chicago to shed the light on poverty. And people like John Lewis, who was the subject of some controversy this weekend discussed earlier in the show, were there with him, as was a young Reverend Jackson. Dr. King was a man of action, and he gave his life for it. Unlike people like Al Sharpton, who you may remember a couple of years ago said he was going to move into the neighborhoods like Dr. King did. Oh, but, you know, hey, can't find a place. I don't know who it is. I got to get a better realtor. Well, can't trust Craigslist. Hey, I'll revisit this somewhere down the road, because Sharpton's a fraud. The furthest thing from what Dr. King was. On this day, everybody talks about and plays clips of the I Have a Dream speech, which is an amazing speech, one of the greatest speeches ever given. But the speech that always gives me goosebumps is the one he gave the night before he died. In the middle of the Memphis garbage strike, he spoke about his life. And remember, he was 38 years old. He spoke about his life. He spoke about the lives of the people he was trying to move to equality. And it really is. It's goosebumps stuff. Here's a clip.
If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges, because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen
the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
It's absolutely amazing. And he died the next day. Assassinated the next day. It's an incredible speech. And whether it was coincidental or whether he actually had a premonition of his own end, it's an amazing, amazing speech that doesn't get enough due because of how amazing the I Have a Dream speech is. But tell your kids about Martin Luther King. Tell them why Martin Luther King is more than just a day off, and share the history because it matters. He was one of the greatest Americans that ever lived, and again, died at 38, so that others could succeed and prosper and move on.
The Black Ensemble Theater is having a really nice performance tonight for families to come. People are encouraged to bring their kids, and it's at the Black Ensemble Theater Cultural Center on North Clark.
And also, you know what? Talk to your kids about prejudice, because prejudice happens all over, and it happens with every color of the rainbow. It's no better when black folks are prejudiced against white folks, or Asians are prejudiced against black folks, or black folks are prejudiced against Mexicans, or white folks are prejudiced against anybody. It's all wrong. You're not better than anybody because of the color of your skin. You're not better than anybody. Everybody gets to start out equal. You maximize your lives, and you don't take advantage of others because of it. A lot to learn from Dr. King, even all these years later. It's, Carm, you want to throw something in?
No, I just, you know, listen to it. It's just, you feel, what a jip. This guy could have been around still today, and what he could have done over time. It's just a huge, that's what I hear about that.
Well, and you think about the fact that 2 months later, Robert Kennedy was killed. And one of the most courageous things I have ever seen, Kennedy was doing a campaign stop. I think it was in Indianapolis. And he was told, and it was in a predominantly black neighborhood and a predominantly black rally. And he was told that, or maybe it was in Gary, but he was told that Dr. King had been killed. And his people said, "We got to get out of here." And he said, "No, no, no. I want to tell the people what happened." And he walked out. There's a rich white guy from Massachusetts, and announced to this crowd, this devastated crowd, that Dr. King had been killed. Really amazing.
That's when they watched Walter Cronkite announce the president's death together.
What?
With the assassination.
Oh, no, you're talking about John JFK. I'm talking about Robert F. Kennedy.
Bobby, okay.
Yeah, Bobby Kennedy. And I'm pretty sure it was Indianapolis. But anyway, the point being, it was one of the most courageous things I've ever seen. Or heard about, because, you know, I wasn't there. I was too young to drive. It's 8:51. So anyway, Dr. King, Martin Luther King Day today. It's not Great Americans Day. It's Dr. King Day. And again, take some time to talk to your kids. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. 8:55 now. There's a list out this morning of the least stressful jobs in America. The 10 most stressful and the 10 least stressful. I misspoke off the air because I saw something on the list that I thought was the least stressful. It's actually one of the most stressful jobs. Broadcaster.
Oh, it is.
Broadcaster comes in at number 10.
As most stressful.
Most stressful. Yeah. Most stressful.
Very stressful.
Number 9, taxi driver. Especially if you're driving a regular taxi and the Uber people are taking your money. 8, PR executive, because you're always putting out fires. 7, corporate executive, because you're always stealing money from the company. What? 6, newspaper reporter. I think probably reporter in general, because like this weekend when you were in another tough neighborhood with a shooting and all that for Channel 9.
Yeah.
Number 5, event coordinator, because the S is hitting the fan and you've got to somehow save the day. Cop 4, airline pilot 3, firefighter 2, enlisted military number 1. Now, least stressful.
Least stressful.
Give them to me.
This is from CareerCast. Okay. I've never heard of CareerCast, but this is the company that did study. Number 10, medical laboratory technician. So, in other words, I guess you'd process blood tests or tests
Urine
like that.
Urine tests, yeah, maybe.
Always with the air in
trouble. Well, no, I was just... No, that's probably what they would do.
This one, I don't understand how it's least stressed. Pharmacy technician. I would think as a pharmacy tech, you're stressed out because you got to get the meds right.
Yeah.
That's
I would like there
stressful.
To be more stress in the pharmacy, not less. I don't want people in the pharmacy going, put one of the orange ones in there with them, too. It'll be a prettier color.
Plus, you have to answer questions. Do you ever walk up and ask the pharmacist a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think the techs are answering questions, though. It'd be good if the tech comes up to the window and goes, well, tell me your symptoms. Number eight, operations research analyst. I don't even know what that is. It's like you look at a company's performance and you analyze it.
Possibly. Yeah.
Great gig.
Yeah.
Hang out all day. Love it.
Number seven, jeweler.
Now, that would be cool. My mom had kind of a part-time job in the jewelry business. She loved it.
But I think there's a difference between the kid at the mall working at the jewelry store and the guy in the back discussing the clarity and cut of a diamond.
Right. That's what she was into.
And fixing a, you know, expensive watch and things,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Number six, medical records technician. It's all digitized now, so I suppose, right? Number five, tenured university professor. Oh. You bet. You talk about no stress. My office hours are from 2 to 2:05 every other Thursday.
My parking spot isn't right next to the door. It needs to be.
Number four, audiologist. Hearing tester, right? Mm-hmm. Number three, hairstylist. I would think that could get stressful, especially if you know, you're listening to people bitch all day, which is kind of the job, isn't it?
I think it'd be stressful, too.
Or you're doing like a bridal party. Oh,
yeah,
that's stressful.
I wouldn't want to be touching by the
way,
hair.
By the way, Mary, at the wedding this weekend, I had an updo.
Nice.
I think it's stressed. You get stressed going to the hairdresser, too.
You get stressed going to the wedding. Number two, compliance officer.
Is it like a parole officer?
Compliance is like any company, right? You go and you go, well, this is what they say they're supposed to do. Are we actually doing it?
Oh, yeah. Complaint department.
Paperwork kind of thing. And number one, the least stressful job in America, Carmen. Carmen has the least stressful job in America.
Sportscaster?
No.
I got a good guess.
Diet? Okay, go ahead.
Yoga instructor.
No.
Ugh. What was it? Diet?
Diagnostic medical sonographer.
So good.
What?
Diagnostic? Put a little jelly on the belly and show them the baby.
Oh.
Sonogram, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Juno. Remember that scene in Juno?
Yeah.
Where she's kind of criticizing young
Juno.
Well,
I would think it's not terribly stressful, but also you're presenting, you know, a really cool moment to new parents and things, right?
What's it called again? The diagnostic what?
We call it DMS in the business. It's a diagnostic medical sonographer.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, but what if something's wrong and you see it, but you can't say? So you just have to.
Yeah, you know
what's
funny? It's funny you say that because I remember when with Amy, with, you know, our first kiddo, that was the thought I had. It's like, what if there's 14 heads?
Yeah. What if they're lying?
What if there's
wings?
They
want the doctor to tell me.
So, yeah, I don't know what they do in that
case.
But
it also have to be actors. It also includes like vascular testing too. So you check for blood clots, and it's basically just the person who
seems like that might be stressful.
Rubs the little.
Is that the person do like an echocardiogram?
No, it's the person who rubs the little.
Because they do
ball
that too.
Over the stomach.
You put the grape jelly on and you run the machine over it. That's all I know.
Right.
So there you go. That's from CareerCast if you want to look it up. Mark Carmen, take us to and hi to everybody on CLTV. Take us away.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago.
All-time top 10 for Frank. I gotta go.
My kind of
number two. Summer Wind, number one. This is number two.
People who smile at you, and each time I roam.
Live from Michigan Avenue in America's greatest city. This is the Steve Cochran Show. Show number 819. One of the coolest jobs in the city. We're talking about stressful jobs, least stressful jobs. One of the coolest jobs in the city is general manager at the Willis Tower. The sky deck for Randy Stancic, and Randy and I have known each other for a long time, and Randy, for a good time, like on his lunch, he'll go out and he'll hang out of one of the windows and just scare some of the other offices over there.
Yeah, dangle down from one of the rappel down, wash a couple of windows, just to have a little fun.
Now, you're a modest guy, but I know that what's the glass floor called? That
we call it the ledge.
Yeah, the ledge. The ledge was something you pushed to get done.
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be working on that. It was supposed to be a breezeway. It was supposed to be kind of a neat, windy city type of
thing. Where'd that concept come from?
You know, a couple different concepts. I'd been to around 25 different observatories around the world. You saw the glass floor in Toronto.
Yeah.
There were probably 200 people on the floor, 75 around this big bubbled glass. It wasn't clear. The technology wasn't there, but it was built 10 years earlier.
Right.
And when you get to the windows, there still was a bar in front of the window, so people wanted to look down. It may have started from Ferris Bueller, too, kind of kicking it all off, putting his forehead on the window. And we realized we're focused on the views out, and they're terrific. They go out to four
states. As opposed to under.
50 miles straight down. And on a day like today where it's rainy, we still have a great opportunity to have the city at your feet.
Which is brilliant, because the biggest enemy of the sky deck is fog. And if you can go, yeah, it's foggy, but guess what? It's foggy above.
And it's neat to have the clouds roll under your feet, too. Because sometimes, if you've experienced it, it's an inch and a half thick of glass. It's not a natural experience to walk out on it. You know, our parents didn't raise us to walk out of the highest building, one of the highest buildings in North America.
And look straight down.
Yeah, and look straight down. So I've been on it thousands of times. My knees still buckle. It's not natural. And that's kind of what we sell. It's the top of the roller coaster, but you're in control.
I don't have a fear of heights, but when I went up on the ledge, we were covering the sky deck.
Yeah, yeah.
I climbed for Channel 9. They said, step out. I went, oh, God. You just get this little sense of nervousness until you're out there.
A twinge.
Yeah, and we didn't put the handrails in. We took those out of the plan. We didn't fret the glass. We wanted max exposure, max emotion, and it's a very emotional place, you know, whether it's getting over your fear of heights.
Well, yeah, tell me some stories. What type of stuff have you seen since you put the ledge in?
A lot of fun things. You know, we've been able to watch people come up there. It turns out it's a very romantic place.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons I'm here today is, you know.
For the big Valentine's Day plug. We'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah, but, you know, when you look at things, you know, we've had ballets up there. Somebody sent in yoga poses, dance poses. We've had the Globetrotters perform up there in a small little thing.
Sandberg, you should go up there and do a handstand.
That's pretty popular as well. But, you know, it comes down to it's the person you're with. Really.
Right.
Or if you're by yourself, how crazy can you get with a photo? But it's really neat to see, and people don't necessarily, we take it for granted. We're in big buildings all the time. But when you come into the city, a lot of the U.S. is flat.
Do you have to have security there? Because you're always going to get the idiot who wants to jump up and down and do things you're not supposed to do.
It's designed to take a beating. It's a 5-ton.
Right, but you still don't want to encourage that.
We have security up there, and it's one of the things where we take a look at. And you know.
By the way, if somebody is jumping up and down, Randy takes them up to the... to where they change the light bulb and he throws them over.
Right.
A quick lesson, Steve.
Yeah. Are there celebrities who come up too?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's very popular because some of them want to come in very, you know, like a People magazine type shoot as seen around town. Most part, a lot of people want to have their own private experience with their families.
It's got to be a blast for you to see that come to fruition because I know the kind of meetings you must have gone through.
We're not putting that in.
Yeah, that is the dumbest idea in the world. These are real life things, too. It's like no one's ever going to do that. Why would you want to do that? And it comes down to experience and people with tourism, travel. Anything we do is really about the memory.
There's rare things that are a hit immediately. The minute you open that, the lines have just not stopped.
And we did zero market research. So it was one of these things where it was going to hit like you talk about, or it would be like, uh-oh, we got to come up with something else.
Right.
And it's true because it is a takeaway. It's something you can experience. We challenge everybody to, you know, maybe they were back here 7 years ago. They remember it. They remember who they're with usually. And it was like that before we put the ledge in, too. We had over 1 million people coming either on field trips, family outings,
sure,
out-of-town guests. You remember who you're with usually when you go there. Now it's well documented with your creativity on the ledge.
Every time you go up, it's a different experience, too. You know, either it's sunny or foggy. Or
right, but do the right thing. Yeah. Bring some paper towels and Windex.
Yeah.
You know? We do have to clean them frequently. A lot of forehead prints. A lot of different things. And, you know, we do have the shot from ledge to ledge, too, because you're right next to each other. You're only about 4 feet apart. And it's very voyeuristic because
so wild.
You don't realize it, but you watch people's emotions. And it's whether it is afraid of getting heights. It's a shared experience. It's just.
And Carmen, I got to tell you, it's so much better than the idea I gave Randy, because Randy said, we're beating a few ideas around. I said, here's my idea. No windows, the entire building.
No
windows in the whole building at all.
Everybody gets a harness.
Yes.
Is there a max capacity, though? Because when I was there, I was on some climb, and like there's 40 people in our group. They're all piling out there. I'm like, easy. Can we just go half? Like, do we all have to be on the ledge?
Yeah, we can put as many people as you can possibly put in there, but we do regulate it. We try to make sure it's very.
And I don't think giving up the number of how much the weight capacity is a good idea, because some chump will try to change it and be a hero. Have you had a wedding on the ledge?
We have. We have had almost 100 different wedding ceremonies up there. It's pretty tough to do because we have, you know, we have the public that we're open to, but we're doing this Valentine's Day contest where we're raffling off 4 weddings before we open the Sunday of Valentine's Day weekend.
This is a cool idea. You'd be 1,353 feet in the air, and you guys are picking up the tab for the wedding, huh?
We have the Justice of the Peace. We'll pop for the champagne. We row you and 8 guests up there. You have the opportunity to have a memorable moment. It's about a 15-minute ceremony up on the ledge.
And you're doing a photo op and all that?
Yep, photos, photos, the Justice of the Peace, the champagne. We have a one-night stay at the London House just down the street the Saturday night before, and there's a crate and barrel package at the end of it. So we tried to make it bigger and better than last year. Last year we had four weddings, 1 vow renewal. We were only supposed to do 4, but we had great submissions into our Facebook page, and it really became a fun opportunity for us to do something a little different.
How do people enter?
You go to www.theskydeck.com, click on the Facebook page, and drop up to a 2-minute video. It doesn't have to be creative. It's just, what does it mean to you? What's love mean? What, you know, really, what is your story? That's what we're trying to find. Last year we had...
I'm hoping to get a green card. I'd like to get married.
And here's my picture. Come see me. Yeah. Last year we had a couple from Florida whose first date was at the Sky Deck. We had a couple from Kansas City who wanted to come to Chicago.
Have you had a divorce yet?
We haven't done that on the ledge, but you know, maybe
see people up there going, people fighting all the way up in the elevator. They get out on the ledge and go, "We're through."
Right. We'll finish up the whole contest with that.
Yeah.
They got to have one bright spot though. Sign the papers, look out the window.
So we had some great stories come in, and again, it's just real simple. Could drop it in, and it could be a vow renewal. So if somebody is already married, we had one last year where the grown children wanted to do something for their parents. They surprised them, and then they had an opportunity to share in a special moment they weren't around for.
Well, that's very cool. It was cool until Dad went, "I've been sleeping with a neighbor."
It's a bad time to say it.
But. Terrible. I didn't know how to bring it up to you, but we're on this ledge. It's the Willis Tower Sky Deck 2nd Annual Valentine's Day Wedding Experience overlooking Chicago. What's the website to send the videos to?
www.theskydeck.com.
Yeah, theskydeck.com. We should do the show from the ledge.
You should.
Oh, I would love that.
That would be cool.
Now, it's only 4 feet, so...
We'd take turns going out.
Yeah, we could fit 2 of us out there in chairs, and everybody rotates when the music stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like musical chairs.
And then you have to invite every guest that's afraid of heights. That's typically
what time does the ledge open?
We open up at 10 o'clock
this
time. This
is perfect. We could do 6 to 10 from the ledge.
I love it, yeah.
I can do the traffic reports up there. It'd be great.
Yeah, you wouldn't need a computer.
Yeah.
That's how it used to work, right? You used to go up top, look up top of Hancock, top of Sears. You'd see out as far as you could see, beat your chest, act like you're in the helicopter, and give the update.
Yeah.
I didn't beat my chest, but okay.
Less mess, man.
Give it away a corporate secret.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to see you. You're always welcome here.
Thanks,
and you do great work, and congratulations on the success over there.
Thank you, Steve.
And by the way, if you can, call it the Willis Tower. The people paid a lot of money for it. Let's call it the Willis Tower. Would it kill you? Willis Tower, folks. Willis Tower. Good to see you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, 923 back after this on 720 WGN. All right, it is 927. Last night, what happened to the Hawks?
They lost, Steve, 3-2.
Okay, here's your Hawks Express, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
Minnesota Wild, they win a big one here at the United Center, beating the Blackhawks 3-2.
That's it. There you go. That's your Hawks Express, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. I don't want to say that we have a sense of worry. Friday night was ugly against the Caps. Last night was non-typical to get a 2-goal lead and then give it up. Just a bad weekend. That's all. Bad weekend.
Yeah, I think Friday was a little stunning to see them lose 6-0. I mean, that's their worst loss in years. And then last night was just a bounce of the puck, great game. And it is a little disconcerting to lose to the Wild 8 times in a row, but that's all in the regular season. Come playoff time, that's when the Wild go down, and that's what matters.
Right, and that's all that does matter. And do we know if anything's going to happen to the Wild Promotions Department for the fake beating of the Blackhawks mascot with a bat?
I have not heard any particular discipline coming out, but... I think they probably are rethinking that promotion, and the next time that a Minnesota Wild, what's his name again? Nordy, that's, I believe, the Minnesota Wild mascot. I don't think Nordy's going to be out there with a bat slaying other mascots ever again. That's my guess.
Right, I would agree with that. At 9:28, we'll take a break. Yes, a break before we get to the big story. And then if we have time before 10 o'clock, the most efficient robbery ever. Efficient robbery ever. Guy robbed a Pizza Hut delivery guy of pizza. Took his pizza.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what he had. Take his pizza. Back after this on 720 WGN. This is the love theme from Paul Conrad's appearance. Paul Conrad at Channel 9. We're live on CLTV. Paul Conrad's on Channel 9. We like promoting our TV brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, time is really wasted. Unite with me now.
Amen.
Join me while I welcome in my brother Paul Conrad.
Damn it.
Any minute now.
Damn it.
He'll find his way to the microphone.
Can we get it? Amen.
This segment worked better when it was at 6:05.
Hallelujah.
We'll get Paul on here in just a second. He told Sandberg like 2 minutes ago. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally ready. Sandberg, what do you have to kill time with now?
The Wang Ding Doodle results, but I will say that Paul not only said he was ready, he said this will be flawless.
Uh-huh.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, so.
It's a good wind tunnel, though. I like the wind tunnel.
Yeah, the judges aren't agreeing. Yeah. The Wang Ding Doodle results from the weekend, the playoff results, we go back to zero. By the way, Mary, I have your trophy. I just keep forgetting to bring it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Mary was a regular season winner.
Did you even buy it yet?
Nope.
Okay.
That's why I forget to bring it.
I was going to say.
But I have an idea what it is.
Did you order one?
I thought it might be in the car with Bennett's Christmas present and my birthday present.
Those are downstairs.
Okay.
Those I can deliver by 10:30.
The dollar store opens, I think, about noon. You can probably swing by there and get a trophy.
Do they have trophies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, Wang Dang Doodle from the weekend. Your team winner is who?
Well, the Do Cares.
Yeah.
And I will say, because in classic Don't Care fashion, I am the only member of the Don't Cares that made any picks.
By the way,
Mary Sandberg.
I picked.
By the way, if you turn around, look at the monitor now at CLTV.
Yes, I did. I sent you a text.
Oh, I know him.
The monitor at CLTV. This dude is doing all the right things, waiting for Conrad to show up.
Okay. I sent a text. I completely remember this.
But right now, he has to stand next to Conrad's empty chair because Paul was all over it and knew what time the segment was. Man, you got better things to do than stand around waiting on Paul Conrad. It's unbelievable.
Look at him. There he goes. Wait, let's talk to him.
He threw his headphones down and he walked away.
He'd be a better interviewer.
I don't think he could talk. Yeah. That's the funniest thing we've seen all day. Thanks for that move. All right. So the Do Cares won. What about the individuals?
I'll have to go and review if Mary did semi picks. So these will be preliminary.
Preliminary results. Yeah, yeah.
So tied for 10th place are all four members of the Don't Care team.
Wow.
And then...
including Mary for not sending you picks.
Yeah, the mighty have fallen.
Sixth place, Andre Darlis.
Wait, what? Wait a minute. I picked the Patriots, I picked Tom Brady, and I picked the score.
But Edelman didn't have a lot of yards. So.
Your second guy.
That's who you told me to pick, Steve.
Yeah, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Nice.
Your mother got fifth place.
Okay.
I picked for her.
Did you tell her to pick Edelman, too?
Steve Cochran in fourth place.
Did you pick Edelman?
He didn't pick the win. He picked Dallas, so you didn't get your 50 points for the win.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Third place, Dave Bennett.
How was this scoring calculated?
Well,
second place is Mike Jacobson. And then first place is me. Again.
Okay. What? Come on. You know what? I'm with Eddie
really
now.
Was this you giving yourself a birthday present?
No. Yes. And I texted my picks to Mike because I want to be on record with
Mike. Yeah, she did. Uh-huh. That's true. She did.
I remember.
I had Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
And he really, like,
170 yards.
Wait a minute. I picked the score almost exact.
Well, you picked the second player. I don't know who told you Julian Edelman, but that was a terrible idea on your part.
I should get a, what do you call it?
You nailed the score, and you had, who was your quarterback, Roethlisberger?
Matt Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
And the Patriots.
Who'd ended him as his quarterback?
Fran Tarkenton.
Probably.
He had Matt Ryan as well.
Oh,
but
he...
All right, we're throwing these out. I told Jacobson my picks. Mm-hmm. I told him.
Now listen, no, we're going back, and you're
he told Jacobson.
Yeah, because I told him when you guys picked
everybody.
Can the
conscience or somebody speak up on this?
Your picks will be tabulated. Mike, do you remember?
I don't think it got sent. I think it was a Friday, and somebody forgot to send them.
No, you forgot to
tell
Mary.
Like Harvey Firestein.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Doesn't he sound like Harvey Firestein a little bit? Mary's conscience?
It always sounds like Mary's conscience to me. I tell you what, this Paul Conrad segment's a winner.
It is awesome. Look at that chair. The chair looks great.
Yeah, the empty chair. And literally the engineer who was standing there waiting to wire Paul to get him on the air walked away.
Yeah, I threw the headphones
out. I don't blame him. That was a headphone dropping moment. Mm-hmm. We'll come back and have more from Not Paul Conrad. Stand by for that at 9:45. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10. And for the CLTV viewers, let's see how long Paul's chair remains empty.
It's like the Madigan challenge.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's Mike Madigan's chair. Here's what I'll do, because I have a feeling Paul will show up before 10. If you're watching CLTV right now, and if you're not, turn it on. The first person to call when Paul sits down wins everything on the prize list.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
When Paul sits in the chair at CLTV, the first person to call and see him wins everything on the prize list at 312-981-7200. Back after this.
Uh-oh. I might be in trouble on that one.
You know, a good thing about friends is you can always count on them. We're back live on CLTV at... also at 720 WGN.
I'm a mess.
Maybe Paul was just sitting in the wrong chair.
Well, Sandberg, take me through the text leading up to Conrad's appearance here.
Yeah. And...
All right, so you texted him and said what?
Well, let's say, after last week's appearance, we started an email thing a week ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right.
To get it, to nail it. On Friday, I reminded everybody.
Yeah.
But what did I say to you when I said, Paul looks like he doesn't have a care in the world. He's sitting on his set during this goofy 9 o'clock hour. And I'm thinking you need to remind him. And you came in and said, talk to him.
I said, you good for 9:40? He said, yes. Should
great
be no
for
problem.
9:40.
I said, should be? And he said, will be. I said, great. I said, you're up. And then the no-show, which we experienced.
Literally. Literally.
Now let me read my part of it also.
Yes.
She says, you're up. I responded with, crap, I'm here, I screwed up, I apologize, and I need to get on the set now.
Again, wrong chair or?
Wrong chair.
All right, so it's 9:50. This segment ended 30 seconds ago.
Well, it was the best one I've done all
Because you have
year.
To go back on Channel 9 to finish the show.
I apologize.
All right, once again, let's give Paul a hand.
All right.
I thought that was
this is how you win Employee of the Month around here. All right, I got to get back. Right. My bad.
Conrad.
Conrad now leaving the worst segment in history, the Paul Conrad segment on CLTV.
Oh, there you go.
Meanwhile, I love this engineer. The engineer who came in and just threw down the stuff. I love that guy. What's his name?
I forget.
Great.
I do. I know him. I forgot his name.
So we have a window with Paul for like 10 minutes when we can pull him off of Channel 9, the job he's paid for, to come on and goof around with me. And he showed up for the last 30 seconds of that. So who actually... By the way, a bunch of people called and said, Steve said I could win a prize. No, I said specifically when you see Paul Conrad sit down on CLTV.
It's Kent.
Oh, Kent. Yeah, of course it's Kent.
Kent
the
engineer.
Yeah, Kent.
Yeah, Kent the engineer at Channel 9.
Thanks to Fawn.
And CLTV. Fawn. Thank you, Fawn. Okay. And it's a shame this is Paul's last day.
I think we might have to go back to the 6 a.m. hour.
Yeah. I think based on the last 2 weeks, we put Paul on in the opening bell, say around 5:15.
Yeah, that might work.
All right, so
the
so
listeners,
who won?
Steve from Des Plaines.
Okay.
He saw Paul sit in a chair. Right. The rest of the listeners calling and just saying they wanted a prize, but they didn't even know what the call to action was. I had a problem with those guys. So.
You get a Chevy Drive, Chicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I don't know if you know this. Chevy, number one, 6 years in a row.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, right? Like the ice blue Chevy Impala.
Say Blue Thunder.
Blue Thunder.
Carmen's here all week. They're going to need a rehearsal.
I feel like Paul Conrad.
The Apt gift cards that we hand out, of course, come from Oddly Enough App. Visit their store in Glenview or online at app.com. Well, that reminds me, I got to call Steve Shapiro.
So do I.
Let me write this down.
Me too.
Steve
Can
Shapiro.
You get me one of those new TVs?
I figure this half hour is going to hell in a handcart. Why shouldn't I take personal notes while I'm talking? Lou Malnati's gift certificate, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. 40 Chicagoland Lou's. LouMalnati's.com. And a pair of tickets to see, this is I Left My Heart, the Tony Bennett thing, right? Yeah. I Left My Heart, a salute to the music of Tony Bennett, playing at the Mercury Theater Chicago, January 27th through March 5th, a romantic journey down memory lane, and a sexy new musical review featuring Tony Bennett's greatest hits, 773-325-1700. Because when you think sexy, you think Tony Bennett.
I love Tony Bennett. That's right. I left my heart.
All right. I hope you all enjoyed again the Paul Conrad segment. And I couldn't be more proud of what we're doing here on the show.
Gives me an idea for a Stevie category. I know we have the Stevies coming up.
Worst guest ever?
Something like that.
Yeah. Back with our last break, which will be more entertaining than this one was, and then Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN.
Ben Bradley weighing in. At least I always show up for my segments on the Cochran Show.
Hey, maybe we could do a Ben Bradley segment.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Since Paul Conrad's no longer on the show.
Yeah, all right, that's fun.
Don't know who's texting me, but somebody's texting me. I thought you nailed Blue Thunder.
I just don't think so. I don't think so. Mark Carman is here all week. Where is Dave Ennett?
Dave Ennett, I believe, is going to see his papa in D.C.
Oh,
he's also scouting out the Big Ten tournament venue for March as the Cats get ready for...
He took the week off.
He's in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine.
Way to try and pick up his, you know...
You know, this is show number 819. I believe this is the worst half hour we've ever done.
Not the worst.
I thought it was great.
I think it's right up there. Let me go to Bill on this. Bill is the archivist of the Steve Cochran Show. Is this the worst half hour we've
You guys
ever done?
Have had way worse half hours than this. Way worse. Lots of them.
Thank you, Bill.
That's what I was hoping. Since we've got an extra minute here before you guys go on, do you have any questions for Mark Carman?
Hey, Bill. How are you?
How do you get your hair so fluffy?
It's an interesting question. Did not expect that. Don't know how to answer it.
Do you use a lot of product?
Anti-product.
There's some conditioner, though. There's got to be a conditioner.
Rarely actually use shampoo. Don't want to shampoo too much. Going to strip your hair of the oils.
Is it syrup? Is it syrup? Do you put a lot of syrup
maple
in your
syrup?
Hair?
Maple syrup?
I think
little
it's
maple
more,
syrup?
It's a natural, sweaty grease that I like to bring to the table.
Excellent. I'm just going to apologize to Wendy on behalf of the whole show.
We've only got a minute of terrible radio to do before we're done. So,
what number show is this?
This is 819.
It feels like it.
She's not
it
wrong.
Might not be an 820.
No. You shouldn't count wrong. This show. Tomorrow should be 819.
Well, 819 ended at 9:30. This is like an exhibition for this half hour.
You're an exhibitionist.
Yes, I am. Did you have a nice weekend?
The circus is ending, so we got
yeah.
Tell me everything you did this weekend.
Everything?
Everything.
No,
you know, I was
not...
in Florida for a wedding.
I know you were. Was yeah. that a fun time? Did yes. you have a good time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Quick
yeah.
turnaround,
I'm not
though.
Buying it.
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround. It I got back tough. Late last night.
Oh, that's probably
You know what was weird last night, since this is the worst half hour of radio I've ever done?
Ever.
I got back to O'Hare last night. I'm parked in the garage because that's where the cars are.
Yeah.
And there, I literally, on the fourth level of the garage, I'm the only car.
How can that be?
It's like we're shooting a movie.
Why would that be?
I don't know. It was weird.
Everybody already traveled.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they went for the holidays, so now it's a lull.
But I did that thing where I pretended someone was chasing me and I ran to the car as fast.
Isn't that fun? Makes life more dangerous.
It is
I
fun.
I hope they got it on video.
Oh, someone
I'd
does.
I'd love to see that.
Which part? The running?
Yeah.
Can I promote something
normally
really
I hire
quick?
Somebody that runs for me. You guys don't promote.
We don't normally, but we've got Paul Conrad from the WGN TV Morning News coming
yeah.
on with us.
He shows up for you.
Yeah,
oh, I love you, Bill.
Hey, by the way, Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing did not sponsor this half hour, but they did sponsor the Express earlier. So, if anybody wants a copy of this half hour, blow it out your butt.
Wow.
We'll be back tomorrow. Carmen, are you with us tomorrow?
I'm with you tomorrow, Steve.
Oh, fantastic.
You hope to be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we're planning on being back tomorrow. There will be a meeting.
Did Wally Phillips ever say blow it out your butt in all the years he hosted mornings here?
He had the regular blow it out your butt segment.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah,
I
he did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.